Come on in, friends. Come on in and tell me what's new and good with you as we wrap up yet another week. My name is Krishanda Torres, your friendly health and wealth coach, and this is Couch Convos with Chris. If this is your first time tuning into this podcast, I help African American women over 40 get rid of sugar and debt because, as my favorite poet Lizelle Graham said, every woman who heals herself heals her children's children. Bottom line up front, it ran in the family, but here's where you get to say it ran in the family until it ran into me. As we continue down our dialogue, March is still National Nutrition Month and Detox Month, including your mind, your body, your home, and your life. But before we get into today's titillating topic, we must, as always, dispense with the formalities of the medical disclaimer. These statements you hear on this podcast have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Any products you hear mentioned in this podcast are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Krishanda Torres is not a physician, and the relationship between Krishanda and her clients is not a prescriber and patient, but as health coach and client. It is fully the client's choice whether or not to take advantage of the information Krishanda presents. OT&E Inc. and Krishanda Torres cannot guarantee any specific outcome, and your individual results may vary. Before beginning or adding any named supplement or modality you hear mentioned on this podcast to your health routine or regime, please consult with a functional medicine or naturopathic doctor. Now that's over, friends. Let's continue with our titillating topic on today. Let's continue with what we've been talking about all month, dietary theory. Again, we're deep diving into the top 25 diets, plus or minus a few. We might not get through all of them, but let's keep it going with today's diet topic, which is the FODMAP diet, in particular, the low FODMAP diet. Well, what's the low FODMAP diet, Krishanda? I'm so glad you asked. The low FODMAP diet, it's a way of eating designed to help individuals with chronic gut conditions, including those who are suffering from IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth known as SIBO. The low FOD diet is a way of limiting common trigger foods and managing symptoms. So, what does it mean when I say FODMAP? Okay, well, certain foods, guys, contain short-chain carbohydrates. That's chains of 1 to 10 sugars that are known as FODMAPs. And so FODMAPs is an acronym, and it stands for F, fermentable. The O is oleosaccharides, so 3 to 10 sugars. D stands for disaccharides, which is 2 sugars. And M, monosaccharides, which is 1 sugar. The A, of course, is and the P is polyols, P-O-L-Y-O-L-S, known as sugar alcohols, okay? So foods with short-chain carbohydrates, sugars, include lactose, such as cow's milk, and foods rich in fructose, such as apples, pears, and honey, and foods that contain high levels of polyols, such as the avocados and watermelons. These foods that I just mentioned are considered high FODMAP because they contain high amounts of these sugars. Whereas what we're talking about today is the low FODMAP diet, and low FODMAP foods, just like it's suggested by their name, contain little to no short chain carbohydrates, okay? It's worth noting for those who are listening that most high FODMAP foods are very healthy, okay? For instance, many high FODMAP foods are rich in soluble fiber, the fiber that feeds that beneficial bacteria that we need in our gut. Therefore, eliminating high FODMAP foods is only recommended if you cannot tolerate them. And of course, under the supervision of your naturopathic doctor or functional medicine doctor in conjunction with your dietitian and your health coach. Because again, we are a collaborative medical team. I believe in collaborating versus competing. So who is the low FODMAP diet best for? Okay. It's actually a three-phase dietary approach, guys, and again, it's designed to provide digestive relief for individuals who experience that GI, that gastrointestinal distress after eating short-chain carbohydrates or high FODMAP foods. Again, this is common for those with conditions like IBS or SIBO. And so, generally, FODMAPs are difficult to digest because they are poorly absorbed in the gut, but many people do not experience GI distress as a result. So Individuals with IBS, however, do tend to be hypersensitive to the digestive effects of high FODMAP foods due to an altered gut motility and gut flora composition. So when they eat FODMAP-rich foods, these same individuals begin to experience symptoms like significant abdominal distension, pain, bloating, gas, altered bowel movements or bowel habits like constipation and diarrhea. And so by following a low FODMAP dietary approach, these same individuals can begin to manage their symptoms a little bit by first eliminating these foods and giving their gut a chance to heal. Then, after some time, they can slowly reintroduce foods to identify which, if any, triggers their symptoms. So the three-phase approach to the low FODMAP diet, as I said, with any of these dietary theories that I have studied through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition out of New York, the number one nutrition school in these United States, of course, this should be managed and supervised by a functional medicine naturopathic doctor or registered dietitian, because this requires a lot of interaction and observation and support, much more support than just a health coach can give. Again, as a health coach, I'm the guide on the side. I come alongside you on your journey. I may make a recommendation, but ultimately you need to decide if that recommendation fits with your lifestyle with your naturopathic doctor or your functional medicine doctor. And usually I'm a part of that medical collaborative team, so we're talking all together. So again, it's collaboration, not competing. But again, because this is a very monitored diet, you definitely should be doing it under the provision and supervision of a functional medicine, naturopathic doctor, and registered dietitian. So let's talk about the phases, okay? Phase one. During phase one, which usually lasts about 2 to 6 weeks, you're gonna remove all the high FODMAP foods from your diet, and you're gonna substitute them with lower FODMAP food choices. For example, you might swap out that cow's milk with the casein in it for almond milk. And then in some cases, you may reduce your serving size of the high FODMAP foods to provide a lower FODMAP load. Again, for example, avocados contain high levels of sorbitol, making them a high FODMAP food choice. However, you might reduce it down to an eighth of an avocado, right? There's the portion size there. It doesn't necessarily work this way for all high FODMAP foods. Some are considered high FODMAP no matter the portion size. Again, this is why you do it under the care of your naturopathic functional medicine doctor and registered dietitian with a health coach supporting you along the side. So that's phase one, okay? In phase two, which lasts a little bit longer, so that's 6 to 8 weeks, the reintroduction period starts. So each group of these high FODMAP foods, the disaccharides, the polyols, and the monosaccharides, they're strategically added back to your diet, slowly, one at a time, kind of like the elimination diet we discussed the other day, so you can assess the tolerance, i.e. apples may be introduced first to determine if the sugar alcohols in the apple actually trigger your GI symptoms. Maybe, maybe not. So normally the individual will start with a small serving, such as half an apple, to gauge their tolerance level. And then let's say after a few days, you don't experience any GI symptoms and you respond well to that serving size, then you may try a larger serving size, like the entire apple, and gauge your response. All the while you're recording all of this stuff in your food diary and you're in constant communication with your medical team. Now, once a specific group of high FODMAP foods is tested, depending on what your functional medicine or naturopathic doctor says, you may be able to move on to a new food group, okay? Again, if you experience any GI symptoms while you're doing this, right? Let's say you took that little eighth of an apple and you started experiencing some symptoms, then you would wait until those symptoms resolve before moving on to test the next group, because you need to have a clear picture of what it is that is causing your symptoms, and you can't do that if you just keep adding stuff. Again, mimicking almost the elimination diet. And then the final phase is phase three. You know which foods you can and cannot tolerate. And then again, it involves working with your naturopathic or functional medicine doctor and registered dietitian to help customize a plan for your diet while also minimizing any of those high FODMAP foods that triggered your initial gut symptoms to begin with. Now, you're probably like, okay, Krishanda, I got the three phases, but I need you to tell me what exactly is a high FODMAP food. What are those things that should be avoided? Because you normally tell us what the diet is, what foods to include, what foods to avoid, the pros and the cons, and you provide some references. Yes, that's no different than this. So when we're talking about high FODMAP foods you should avoid while you're working with your medical collaborative team on your low FODMAP diet, lactose, okay, dairy. Again, like I gave you the example, instead of cow's milk, regular cow's milk, you may, after talking to your naturopathic doctor, functional medicine doctor, and your registered dietitian, again, your medical collaborative team, which includes your health coach, you may decide, you know what, I might want to try almond milk or coconut milk instead. So again, while you're doing this, you want to avoid buttermilk, cheese, cottage cheese, custard, goat's milk, evaporated milk, ice cream, milk chocolate, ricotta cheese, sheep's milk, sweetened condensed milk, yogurt, dairy, okay? Disaccharides, lactose. Next, you wanna try to avoid while you're going through this process, fructose, monosaccharides. So fruit, yes, apples, boysenberries, cherries, figs, mango, pears, tamarillo, and watermelon. Vegetables, because some vegetables can be classified with fructose. So asparagus, Jerusalem artichoke, oh, it's delicious, but you want to avoid it while you're doing this low FODMAP diet. Sugar snap peas and sun-dried tomatoes. More fructose, of course, agave, high fructose corn syrup, and honey. And then the alcohol is, of course, cider, port, rum, sherry, or that sweet dessert wine that sometimes they drizzle on your food. Now the fruton and the oleosaccharides, you want to avoid currants, dates, figs, grapefruit, nectarines, peaches, persimmons, plums, prunes, and watermelons. And like I said, with the vegetables, again, in addition to the Jerusalem artichoke, garlic and garlic powder. I know I love garlic. Leeks, onion and onion powder, peas and shallots. And this is not forever. This is while you're working through your low FODMAP diet. You want to avoid barley, rye, and wheat, the whole grains. You want to avoid cashews and pistachios as nuts. For the legumes, you want to avoid baked beans, black beans, fava beans, kidney beans, navy beans, soybeans, and split peas. And then some herbs, teas, and other that you want to avoid is chai, chamomile, chicory root, that makes a great coffee, fennel, inulin, and kombucha. For the sugar alcohols or the poly oils, again, fruits is huge in that area, so apples, apricots, avocados, blackberries, cherries, lychee, nectarines, peaches, plums, prunes, and watermelons. And that's, again, while you're doing this low FODMAP diet. You want to avoid it so you can make sure that that's not what's aggravating your symptoms, and then slowly you will reintroduce these things. And again, sugar alcohol specifically, you want to avoid xylitol, sorbitol, isomalt, and mannitol. Okay. Don't get depressed. You're like, oh, you just took everything away, Krishanda. No, no, there are many lower FODMAP foods and drinks that you may want to consider while you're following this meal plan. Again, what I'm about to tell you is not an exhaustive list, okay? Fruit, you can consider bananas, unripe bananas, blueberries, cantaloupe, dragon fruit, pineapple, plantain, strawberries. Vegetables, you can look at the more cruciferous vegetables, bok choy, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, collard greens, radishes, spinach, summer squash, water chestnuts, and watercress for your proteins. Look at eggs, plain cooked meats, poultry, and seafood, and some dairy alternatives. Again, almond milk, brie cheese, feta cheese, hard cheese, lactose-free milk, and lactose-free yogurts. To be able to still check out some low FODMAP grains, you want to look at a trusted dusty favorite, quinoa, polenta, rice, oats. So again, you have options. You're not stripped of all of your options. You just have to pick lower FODMAP options, better options for your gut health, for your specific situation. Nuts and seeds, one of my favorites, Brazil nuts. 4 Brazil nuts a month will help you lower your cholesterol. Don't believe me? Check out Dr. Michael Greger's How Not to Die. He's got a whole chapter on how to lower your cholesterol by simply eating 4 Brazil nuts a month. Not a day, friends, a month. So those are some of the nuts you can get into. Chia seeds, oh my God, those are delicious. Macadamia nuts, pecans, and walnuts. Low FODMAP sweeteners, dark chocolate, maple syrup, and rice malt syrup. And then the other, you know, extraneous that I get asked a lot about, beer. Most beer is low FODMAP. Definitely black tea, green tea, peppermint tea, rooibos tea. If you like alcohol, because I know we told you about the dessert wine, well, white tea is good too, excuse me. Regular wine and whiskey and vodka. Again, you can investigate these further under the supervision of your collaborative medical team. As always, bioindividuality, which is what works for me, may not work for you, is at play when you're doing experimenting with these different dietary approaches. I don't prescribe individualized meal plans, as you know, that's outside of my scope of practice. So what I do as I'm talking to you is provide you education, give you information, and ultimately you can do the four R's. You can receive what I'm saying. You can reason with what I'm saying. You can completely reject it. Krishan, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, or you can, as I encourage you every single time we come together, research what I'm saying, okay? What are the pros of the FODMAP, low FODMAP diet? It can be a lifestyle rather than diet. It may help you alleviate some of your IBS symptoms. It may help you lead to weight loss and may lead to increased energy. Of course, the cons are it's not a quick fix. It's not Amazon. Your new stomach is not going to show up in 2 days. Some may find it too specific to follow long term because, again, you have to be under the supervision and guidance of your collaborative medical team. Some may find it difficult to eat in restaurants or social situations. And as always, I provide you references to research for yourself that which I've shared with you on today. So the references, of course, are the low FODMAP diet. That's from Stanford Health. The link will be in the podcast episode today. You can also check out Barrett, Jay Barrett and P. Gibson. They wrote a whole thing on that's on the NIH website about the FODMAP, again, fermentable oleosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols and non-allergic food intolerance, FODMAPs or food chemicals. So that will also be posted. The three steps of a FODMAP diet, I'll put that on there as well. And then a FODMAP diet app that you can check out. Now, I don't have specific book recommendations today on the FODMAP, but I think the resources that I've given you are more than enough and will give you enough information to research for yourself. And then, of course, discuss with your functional medicine, naturopathic doctor, dietitian, and your specific health coach if I'm not the health coach for you. Friends, I hope this podcast added value and I hope something I said today resonated with you. And I hope you'll let me know through the poll and the Q&A what resonated with you about this podcast. And so I invite you to join me again as we continue down the dietary theory journey lane for National Nutrition Month. And I also invite you to do one of the following. Visit my website, of course, at KrishanDeTorres, allonword.com. Click on the group link and find and check out my focus/support groups and join one. Eating with the Seasons is coming up on March 21st because we're going to be talking about all the things that we should be eating as spring descends upon us. Yes, we know that it's coming because the pollen monster has jumped on us. So next is the warmer weather. I'm excited about the warmer weather. I'm not too excited about combating the pollen monster. And you can also check out our exciting events, what masterclasses are being held at KrishanDeTorres, all one word, .iin is in my school, healthcoaching.co. This month, I believe on the 20th, I'm doing a masterclass on the power of plants because again, it's getting warmer. So we need to get outside, get in the dirt, do some grounding, get some of that dirt in our microbes and our gut health and learn about some plants that we can bring inside that can help clear the air in our house, right? So until next time, friends, cheers to your health and your life.